Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Right now, Tom Skilling joins us. And Tom, boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot cooking in the weather world, that's for sure. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
You too. It has been a while. Happy fall. Is it meteorological fall? I always forget when we celebrate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's both.
And I'll tell you, football and the fall colors and everything else, and they're really starting to emerge. So it's we've gotten these gorgeous photos from the upper Midwest already, and out toward Galena even, Anna, and they're showing up in our area more and more, too.
Yeah,
so
I want to ask you about that, Tom,
time of the year.
Because I love the fall colors, and every year we go out to Three Oaks, Michigan, right outside New Buffalo there. We went to a pumpkin patch, and we just went a couple days back, and we often take this little nature trail that's nearby.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it is it's kind of like our fall color thing, and I got to say, there weren't many fall colors yet. I mean, it was all green, pretty much. We had a few leaves on the ground, but here close to us, we're not seeing it yet.
That'll be changing, I'll tell you, and quickly, because this recent cooling will bring these colors out more and more. Really depends on where you are. It's interesting, and in this day and age of social media and the pictures that are flowing, you get a pretty good picture of what's going on around the area and how it varies from place to place. I'll tell you another thing that people do, and it's such fun, are the apple-picking tours that folks go on these days. My roommates came back with a bunch of the most delicious apples. The crop this year is just amazing.
We've got some, too. My friends went apple-picking. We didn't get to go yet, but you're right. It's like, it's the fall outdoorsy stuff in the Chicago area, it's designed for this age of social distancing. There are so many things you can do. The Little Fest we went to, they just kind of cut out the high-touch stuff, like the bounce house and some of the other things, but they had a corn maze. You know, you can still do like the, you go get your pumpkins and they did grape picking out there at this particular one, but it's so cool. It's an awesome time of year.
It really is. I hear from farmers from across the area and I thank them for writing because they keep me up to date. They said, I tell them they keep this urban type up with what's going on out in the real world, you know, that surrounds us.
I feel the same way, Tom. We need to reconnect to the earth every once in a while. Remember this stuff.
About it.
On the subject, the Tribune has got this awesome, just this glorious kind of review of a lot of the places to see the fall foliage.
Yes.
And it's really cool because they mention some of the things that maybe you haven't even thought about. So I just recommend that to anybody who's thinking this weekend. And I know we want to get to the weekend weather and what's our warming trend. But hey, can we talk about the hurricane? I mean, how many have we had? It's been a very active season, hasn't it, Tom?
Very active. Anytime you move into the Greek alphabet letter nomenclature on identifying these storms, we're up to Delta now. That's the one we're watching. Gamma formed off the Yucatan. It's kind of faded away. Not kind of, it's gone. And now Delta has taken over. It is amazing in this day and age watching these things develop and the power of them. This thing is producing what are called gravity waves, which are ripples in the clouds that in a circular fashion emanate away from the eye as you watch the animations of the hurricane. And that's a sign of a powerhouse storm. This thing has strengthened its winds have 70 miles an hour in just 24 hours time. The pressure's dropped 42 millibars. We always talk about these bomb cyclones that form on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. If they deepen 24 millibars in 24 hours, we say, wow, that's a fast-developing storm. This thing has deepened 42 millibars. It's over the Western Caribbean, south of the Cayman Islands. It's going to hit the northeast Yucatan. Anybody who's been down to Cancun and Cozumel will appreciate that because that area is going to get hammered. And then it's going to move out over the open Gulf and up toward the U.S. Gulf Coast. Apparently for something around a Louisiana landfall, which would make it the third hurricane to landfall in Louisiana this season.
Gee.
The current projections have it going into Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, northern Gulf Coast, as perhaps a 90 to 100 mile per hour hurricane, which can do a lot of damage. It comes in with storm surge, torrential rains, all the accoutrements of a major hurricane, the big waves and so forth. So this is, and you know, you think about where we are. Here we are in October, and this thing is cooking right now. So It's been an extraordinary season. You know, it's interesting, and we started naming these storms in a formal manner in 1953, and there's only been one hurricane season since then that we've run out of the 21 names that they come up with every year, because there are certain letters in the alphabet that don't associate themselves a lot of names, so they put out 21 instead of the full range of the alphabet. And there's only been one other season, 2005, where we had more hurricanes than we had names for, and we had to go over to the Greek alphabet letter. But it's pretty incredible. The ocean over which this thing is forming in the Caribbean is bathtub warm. It's about 90 degrees, which is above normal. The warm water is deep down there, so the winds don't churn up deeper water, and that's what fuels these hurricanes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get out of a bathtub, you reach for the tower of a swimming pool because you feel cold. And what's happening there is the water is evaporating from your skin, and it takes energy to change from liquid on your skin to the gas that goes into the atmosphere, the water vapor. Well, when that gas, that water vapor in the atmosphere, goes back to liquid, it re-releases the heat that changed it to gas in the first place, and that's called latent heat energy, and that's what drives hurricanes. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about scores of the equivalent energy of scores of atomic bombs that are released in just a couple minutes time. They say that Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans so badly, that storm, when all was said and done, it released more energy over its life cycle than all the bombs that had been dropped on Europe in World War II.
Gee, Tom, hold that thought for a second.
It's a huge energy budget.
Much more to talk about with Tom Skilling, and this segment sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for Tom. And more to come with Tom in just a moment. Back with Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. You were talking about how they run out of names for the hurricanes, and that they've gone into the Greek alphabet. Is that since they began keeping records, Tom? I mean, that goes way back?
You know, Anna, or how does we've this got go? Records on hurricanes, on landfalling hurricanes, back to 1851. The problem was the satellites didn't go up until the 1960s. So we're not sure in that early part of the record how many storms we missed out over the open water, because if a ship didn't run across it and a captain didn't come back and file a report that, hey, I ran into a hurricane, we didn't know they were out there until we got satellites up there. So the record that really is complete starts in 1966. And that's when we had complete satellite coverage of all of our ocean basins. But the naming process started in 1953. And the way that started was, you know, a lot of our military people flew the missions. And a lot of, you know, the military was male dominated for many years. So they would go out into storms, and they would give the storms the names of their girlfriends just to keep them straight, because they're often more, you know, they'd say, oh, we're going out into Cindy, and the you know, another crew would say, well, we're going out into Dolly, and so forth. And then, of course, we started integrating male names and female names, and then we started putting in surnames that, you know, involved every language spoken in the whole basin. So you have English names, French names, Portuguese names, you name it.
And is it a good thing, though, Tom? Is it a good thing to have a storm named after you? Because I don't know that you want one. Like, you know, Sally, I mean, the Sallys are nice people, the ones I know. And then they do so much damage. Has there been a Hurricane Tom before?
Yeah, there has been. And in fact, if they get too bad, they retire the name. So there'll never be, for instance, another Camille. There'll never be another Katrina. Andrew. There will never be another Katrina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they did that. But, yeah, there has been Hurricane Tom. And, you know, they normally, when you get that far into the alphabet, those are late in the season. So those storms tend with time to become weaker. So I don't know that we've ever retired. In fact, I know we haven't retired the name Tom yet, because there haven't been powerful Hurricane Toms. But, you know, some people write me and say, hey, I kind of take pride in the fact that there's a storm named after me, even though I don't like what it does. But, you know, so.
So it started out.
Different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely, Tom. So it started out with the sailors and the guys out at sea naming after their girlfriends, and it's progressed since then. Who decides now? Because it's much more diverse. You've got male and female.
Yeah.
You've got lots of different names that you didn't see before.
Yeah.
Who's on this committee, Tom? Are you part of it?
It's a great question. I'll tell you what they do. There are eight different tropical cyclone basins in the world: the Indian Ocean, the area around Australia, the Western Pacific, where they're called typhoons. The south of the equator in the South Pacific, they're called cyclones there. Our hurricanes, the list is put together by the National Hurricane Center, and then they send it into the World Meteorological Organization, which is kind of the United Nations body that coordinates all weather observations around the world. So we're all talking the same language numerically when we pass around weather observations. And they put the final stamp on the hurricane and tropical storm and typhoon names. But the fact is, it's the Hurricane Center that down in Miami that comes up with the names in the so-called Atlantic Basin, the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic, and the Caribbean. So that's where they originate.
You know, Tom, I have to ask you about something else, because for weeks there, it seemed like we were all waking up to these really murky, foggy sort of sunrises and sunsets, too. The sky had had that, like, just that sort of film over it. And it, we've learned from you and telling us about how those wildfires out west, and there has been devastation in so many areas there, has made its way here, and it's still coming, right? I mean, are we still seeing the impact?
You may have noticed this morning, kind of that orangish cast is back in the sky. And indeed, you know, there are models run that show us where the smoke's going. And this smoke from Western fires has traveled around the world. They've tracked it, actually, the aerosols around the world. But we have Siberia burning at the same time. They're burning in South America. These are all record fires because the planet is heating and we get more of these fires. And then there's a forestry management component to it and everything else. This smoke is back in our sky again, and the forecast for the next couple of days is it'll come and go, and it arrives here above the ground. I was looking at a cross-section of this. It's the bottom of it was down around 3,000 feet, and the top went up to 22,000 at one point, and the densest smoke was up around 6,000 to 8,000 feet above the ground, so that's why we're not smelling it. Some folks have written and said, hey, I think I smell something, but actually most of it's arriving above ground in the stronger winds that blow up there. Mm-hmm. But it does. It produces these brilliantly colored sunrises and sunsets. And it's just a shame how we get to these, you know, because what's going on out west is a debacle.
Tell me if I'm wrong,
really
Tom.
Tragic.
It is so tragic. I have a friend who lives in the San Francisco area, and she said that she's got four kids at home, learning from home. And she said Friday was really the first day the air quality, they felt good enough to just even get outside their home. And they have a home, right? So you see so many other devastating scenes from the millions of acres that have burned. It's tragedy.
It must be horrifying. And you know what else? What is happening to their health, breathing all that? That's not totally understood at this point. It cannot be good. So it's a tragedy on so many different levels, no question about it. I'm glad to hear your friend's home is still intact. Thank heavens.
Yeah, you know, you see many of those chimneys, you know, those images of the chimneys are the only thing to survive these fires after they just see these burned out areas. And some of them, the Paradise area, burned twice, right? I mean, these poor folks had just rebuilt their house, maybe, and then that happens.
I know. It's really sad.
Am I wrong? Didn't it seem like things cleared up in our skies and then turned again or just recently?
Yes. It all has to do with how the upper winds are blowing and where they're coming from. Over the past weekend, when we got so cool, the jet stream had switched in from northwest Canada. So it was blowing in from the Yukon, and there are no fires. They haven't had a bad fire season up in Canada the way we have this year. They had bad seasons last year and the year before. But the flow in from Canada cleared our air. And now it's gone, the upper winds have gone more westerly. And by the way, that's what's driving this warm-up, too. We've cut off our direct access to Canadian air. And that, plus the hurricane, is going to have an impact, too, because the air vents out the top of these hurricanes, you know, blows out the top like air going out of a chimney, and this air migrates hundreds of miles away from the storm and then sinks. And when air sinks and compresses, it heats up. So what will happen here is we're going to develop a pretty solid dome of high pressure that will be warmed in part through compression. And we're going to see our warmest temperatures on Friday and Saturday around here.
Looks
and
gorgeous,
probably
have
Tom. No rain till next week. Isn't that great?
Yes. It's dry, warm, gorgeous. Just a few seconds left here. I just want to ask you, Tom, how are you dealing with the pandemic? How are, in general, how are you just getting through this whole thing?
Yeah, doing well. My heart goes out to the folks who have lost jobs, who wonder where the paycheck's coming from, that put a roof over their head and everything else. I can't imagine what's going on in the lives of people who have been their whole lives have been turned upside down by interruptions in the travel industry, the restaurant industry. Go through the list.
Sure.
It's really sad. So I'm working from home here, and we're lucky, Anna. We've got a job.
That's true.
Our heart goes out to those who don't.
It's a time to count our blessings, no matter what they are, I think, Tom. It's, whether that's your health or whatever it is, it really has kind of hit a reset button for so many of us.
You're right.
It's a time to think about what we have. Tom,
yep.
I love talking with you, and I'm happy to hear you actually have some good news for us with the warmth and everything, so thanks for delivering that, and stay well.
That's all right. It's great to talk to you. You be well and safe, too, Anna. Good to talk to you again.
You, too. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. You as well.